here. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good. God is good? All the time? Okay. Yeah, today is a really, really privilege to me, and I'm so glad and happy to be here with you guys. It's like when Pastor told me and invited me to come and share the word of God with you guys, I was like, yes. Yes, I want to be there, and I want to share the word of God with you guys. And today we are speaking about the resurrection. So this is John from 20:11 to 18. So I have entitled this, Preaching When Jesus Calls You by Name. And we are going to be speaking about Mary Magdalene, the first witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So... yeah, a little bit about me first. My name is Julio. I am from Colombia. Julio, probably you know the singer Julio Iglesias. So it's the same name. So it is the same name. And yeah, and my wife that just read the word. So I wonder who speaks Spanish here. Some words? Nothing? Oh, un poquito, okay. Cool, yeah. My advice to you is to start learning Spanish. Because as Pastor Andrew says, Spanish is a heavenly language. So when you get to heaven, you need to know some words so you can greet Saint Peter there and say hello. So he can say hola, yeah, and he can say bienvenidos. So yeah, we have been in this country for 11 years now, and been part of Valley Road Church for more than 8 years now, and it's been a blessing. Yeah, so let's get to the message. So as I say, we are speaking about Mary Magdalene, but before jumping into that passage, we need to step in who Mary Magdalene was. And we read in Luke 8:2, Mary called Magdalene, from whose 7 demons had gone out. So she had met Jesus Christ before, and when they met, 7 demons gone, 7 chains gone, 7 layers of torment gone. Because that's what happens when Jesus speaks, when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what happens. All your fears, all your grief, all your doubts, they are gone. All your demons. And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ, that when you find him, only good things happen. So when that happened, Mary started following him everywhere. Not because she was a religious woman, not because she was following him just because she wanted to follow him for what he had done in her life. What he did for her was amazing. So all she wanted to do is to be with him. And that's what happens when you have an encounter with God and with Jesus Christ. You want to be with him from the moment you wake up till you go to bed. Because it's just beautiful. And you cannot describe that to anyone else. So she was a real follower. And we read more about her, and we find in these scriptures how she followed him everywhere. She stood at the cross, as John 19:25 says, and also in Matthew 27:61 we read that she watched the burial. And in John again, we see that she came down to the tomb. But why? Because indeed she had a real revelation from Jesus Christ. He changed her life forever. Mm-hmm. Now, we are back to our passage, and we read here that Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping, broken. And that's what happens, and it's devastating. We have the family today, they are grieving. And they only know what it feels to feel that grief. Lost my father 17 years now ago. He was really young. And only we can understand how it feels. And the only thing we can do is to be with them and give them company and support them. That's all that we need. And it's devastating. And here is Mary sharing that grief. The Greek word used here is kleiosa. Well, I don't know if anyone speaks Greek here to correct me if that's the correct pronunciation. But yes, the word here is kleiosa. But this word in particular doesn't describe a quiet tear. It's not just like weeping or something. It's something that is devastating, that breaks you inside. So she's really devastated there. She was in front of the tomb where her master, her friend, the person that changed her life was there in that tomb. So she was devastated. And then we read that two angels appear and ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And to me, when I read this, it's pretty obvious the question. Why are you crying? Yeah. Of course, I am grieving. I am here, you know, and still in that process of grieving. So what am I supposed to be doing? I am crying. It's obvious question. This morning we got a coffee machine lately, and I was making a coffee, you know, with the steam for the phone and the milk. And my wife came, "Are you making coffee?" I was there. No, I'm washing the dishes. Of course, I'm making a coffee today for breakfast. So it seems like a really obvious question. Why are you crying? But from the perspective of these two angels, the question makes completely sense because they knew what had happened. They knew that Jesus Christ had resurrected. So for the angels were like, it was like, okay, Mary, if you knew what we know, if you saw what we had seen, you wouldn't be crying. You will be full of joy. There is a writer called Matthew Henry, and he notes that God often used tears to soften the heart and prepare us to see Christ more clearly. That's the way of God and Jesus Christ. Sometimes he uses circumstances for us to come closer to him. And in those moments of grief is when your heart is more prepared to come closest to our God. It's like coming back home from a long, long period of time away from him. But to come back to home, sometimes that grief is used to soften our heart and we can see Jesus Christ closer. Their suffering is not the absence of Jesus. Actually, it is often the place where he comes closest. Now we see Mary. When Mary here, she sees the empty tomb, and she sees the linen clothes, and she even sees the angels. And she's still wondering where Jesus Christ is. She asks the angels, "Where is my Lord?" And then Jesus Christ appears to her. And she saw him. And what does she say? Hey, sir, where have you put my Lord? You have taken him to somewhere else. Please let me know. But it's Jesus Christ himself. And the question here is, why she didn't recognize him? She spent a lot of time with him. He was her master, her friend, her everything. But she wasn't able to recognize him. Even he spoke to her, and she still didn't recognize him. And why is that? And this is because grief can blur our vision. Tears can distort reality, and we are not able to see clearly what is happening, because that's what grief does. Pain can make us miss the God standing in front of us. There are some situations in life like it's so hard, and you ask yourself and everyone, where is God now? There are so much pain and suffering that you are not able to see that God is there, working behind the scenes. But you are too distracted in pain and suffering and probably focusing in other stuff that you can see clearly that God is there with you. But to me, I've been in that situation a lot of times. And sometimes I don't recognize Jesus Christ. And this is human. So if you feel in that, that's human. You know, we are in this world, and we are like, we face that once. But there is hope. Because even when you don't see him, he is there. He sees you. Probably you don't, but he does. Even when you don't recognize him, he is near. And I can promise, he is near. Because I have felt him being so close to me. Literally hugging me. We keep reading the story about Mary and that day, that resurrection Sunday, and what happens? Jesus said to her, Mary. So what we read before was, she saw him, nothing happened. He even spoke to her, still didn't recognize him. And then she says a single word, Mary. Her name. And this is so powerful because this makes your encounter, my encounter, Mary's encounter personal. It's not that you speak to a random guy or a random God or that he speaks to you. No, it is personal. When he says, Mary, something just breaks out. And she immediately recognized him and say, Teacher, Rabboni. Why? Because that's what Jesus does. He calls you personally, by name. Yeah. Only by name. In an instant, all those tears turn into joy. Confusion turns into clarity, and despair turns into worship. And this is the most amazing thing. Mary came to the tomb looking for a dead body. She never thought that she was about to have the greatest encounter and the greatest experience of life, not only for her, but for everyone, for millions and millions of people that had been followers of Christ and are followers of Christ. She was the very first witness. So we see in John 10:3-4, Jesus said, "He calls his own sheep by name, and they follow him because they know his voice." So the pastor calls the sheep by name. They recognize them by name. It's not like, "Oh, that sheep is lost. Take it, take that." No. Is Mary, this is you, Mary, and she listens. The same. In John 10:27, we see, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Mary does not recognize his face, does not recognize his form. She doesn't recognize his voice, but she recognizes his voice when calling her by name. And this is for us. This is a good experience. Have you heard Jesus Christ calling you by name? I am about to share my testimony, my Mary's moment as well, and taking advantage that my wife is here with me. She is always with me, all the time. You know, like, yeah, it's, she's like Jesus Christ. She's always, all the time with me. She wouldn't let me go, like, alone. The same like Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I had a moment like Mary's too. A little bit of background. I grew up in a Catholic house, my family, when I was a kid. This is back in Colombia, like 90% of the population is Catholic. So, of course, when I was a kid, I knew all these stories, the Bible, Old Testament, you know, Samson, Jonas, you know, that Jonas one was like, okay, kind of crazy story, like a guy being eaten by that big fish, and then, yeah, it's like, it was crazy to me. So one day when I was a teenager, about 13 years old, I say to my mother, "Hey, I had made a decision." "What is that?" "I'm not coming to church anymore." "Why?" "Because I don't believe that there is a God." "Why?" "Because I don't believe that." So from that day, I became an atheist. She was disappointed. I say, "Well, he's real." And I say, "Show me that he's real." She couldn't. She couldn't. So from that day on, I was an atheist. Every time someone would come to me and talk to me about Jesus Christ and God, I always reject him and even make fun of them. But I had my Mary's moment. So when I was like 23, 24 years old, I met the person that introduced me to Jesus Christ, which is Lady, my wife. So we met at work. I started working for the same company she was working for. So we met, and we were hanging out. Yeah, it was nice. I was like, "Oh, she is cool." And one day she say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." To me, it was like, "Nah, dang it, nah." So I was like, "Oh, this is so good. Why me?" Sana, I don't think this is going to work out very well because she's a Christian and I'm not interested in that. Anyway, I decide that to keep dating her. And she invited me to her family home group, or cell group, they call it, I think. And then, the very first one was like so awkward. That night felt like forever. Like, you know, people singing and praying out loud and a lot of stuff and stories from the Bible. And I was like, okay, you know. So I was sitting there. Is it over yet? Nothing? Okay, so it was so long, and I was like, no, again, this is not for me. This church stuff, this God stuff, definitely not for me. Anyway, I've decided to keep going to that home group. But not because I was seeking Jesus Christ. No, because I wanted to date a lady. Keep dating her. Yeah, I really like her. So, I decided to go. And I kept having like those awkward moments. Like one day we were in a home group and I was attending. And lady's father, you can say that you don't, you know, some people don't like you. Yeah. And I felt it from him. So one of those nights, pastor said, someone has like a prayer request. And then lady's father, staring at me like this, with my brother like this, he was like, oh, actually, yes, I have a prayer request. I need some clarification about a particular person. So I need God to clarify something. And I was sitting there, just like pretending it wasn't about me. But, you know. And I spent a couple of months like that. One day I asked lady, hey, I want to go to church and see how it looks like. Why not? Like, let's go for it. But again, I went to church because I wanted to please her and now her family, especially her father. So yes, I went to church and I started going to church. But I felt in one moment like I was back to my childhood, listening to all those stories from the Bible, all those preachings. Some preachings were nice, others like, anyway, so, but nothing. I just felt that I was just listening. The same stories, some teaching, but not something like really deep in my heart. So June 2008, they invited me to a church camp. They call it the encounter, because it's an encounter with you, with Jesus Christ, and with others. So I was invited, and I say, well, it's the whole weekend. I have nothing to do this weekend. So I went more out of curiosity than, you know. So I went there to the camp, and that weekend, I had my encounter with Jesus Christ. And it was so different. It wasn't audible, but definitely I felt Him. All the joy, all the peace, everything that comes only from Jesus Christ, I felt that weekend. All His love. I felt how He said to me, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you think you are. It doesn't matter that you feel so guilty. It doesn't matter. Here I am for you. I love you. I die for you. And I will do it again. Only for you. And He called me by name. He didn't speak to everyone. I felt like he spoke to me personally. The same way that he did to Mary. He spoke to Mary. And he said, Mary, he said, Julio. And I was there. And it was the most amazing time, day, weekend of my life. Still remember that? When I feel down, when I feel that Jesus Christ and God is away, because what I shared before, maybe pain or grief, even sin. Sin can blur your eyes as well to see clearly Jesus Christ. When that happens, I'll go back to that day and say, no, he is real. I just need to come closer to him. Try to avoid that pain and go back to Jesus Christ. The same way that Mary Magdalene did. She had an encounter, 7 demons fled. My demons were alcohol, cigarette, gambling, anger, envy, you name that. And they disappeared that day. It was so much full of love. When this camp finished, I went back home and couldn't help but tell everyone what just happened to my family. I went to my father and I said to him something that I had never said before as an adult. And it was, I love you. He was kind of surprised. He was like, what are you saying? Like, who are you? So you went to that camp that weekend, and I don't recognize you. You saying those words. In tears, saying, I love you. And he was like, really impressed. And I'm glad I did that. A couple of years later, he passed away. But I managed to tell him, I love you. And that's what Jesus Christ does. You are not only closer to God, but closer to your family. Amen. And your loved ones.
What happened with the father of...
Okay, we are in... Today is 38th of August 2026. And that guy loves me. Yeah, he is like, yeah. I don't want to say this, but you know, you are family, so I can share this with you. I think he loves me more than he loves Lady now. And his favorite now. And he calls me his child, his son. So yeah, this is good. Yeah. Thank you for asking. That's a good one. Thank you. So yeah, that day, Jesus Christ became my testimony. So I decided to start sharing the word of God. And I have to be honest, I had the moments that even though my demons fled, there are some moments that I couldn't see Jesus Christ clearly. Yeah. Sin, pain, there are a lot of circumstances that just put something here. Yep. And you cannot see what God is doing in your life clearly. There are so many circumstances that you don't understand. There are so many things happening around you and in the world that you don't understand. And we focus on them rather than focusing in who really matters, that is Jesus Christ himself. So here we go back to our passage. And let's jump into. So in that moment, Jesus says to Mary, don't cling to me, but go to my brothers As I said, she is the first witness of the resurrection, and she is called the witness of the apostles, because she ran out, and you know, if you know your Bible, all the apostles, they scattered. They run away, hiding. She was there. She went and told them, hey, Jesus Christ is alive. He's resurrected. But it was a personal encounter. It's not just that she went and saw the empty tomb and that two angels were there. No. What she said to the apostles was, hey, I saw Jesus Christ. He is alive. He called me by name, and I recognize him. So that could be us as well. I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Go and tell others. Not an event in history. It is an event in history. But when it becomes personal, it's yours, your testimony. It's your personal experience with Jesus Christ. We can say, in the Bible it is there, there are witnesses, 5,000 witnesses. There are a lot of arguments for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when it comes to the personal experience, it's different. Very different. And so many people don't understand that. Well, I just want to, where I was, here I am, sorry. So yeah, just to finish with some thoughts, just want to say, like, Jesus sends you to tell the story. Tell everyone that Jesus Christ is closer, that he is alive. And if you haven't had that experience, that encounter, that personal encounter, today is the day. Yeah. Don't wait anymore. Yeah. Or probably you have had that encounter before, like Mary Magdalene. But you are in a situation right now that you cannot see him because of grief, pain, sin, etc., etc. Today is the day to go and wipe everything that is in front of you and clear your eyes and your mind and your heart and welcome again Jesus Christ into your heart, into your mind, into your life. May Jesus Christ to be the whole of your life. Everything that you have is in Jesus Christ. Focus, fix your eyes in the living, resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, brothers and sisters, before I close, I just want to thank you all for having me today and listening to this story about my personal marriage moment with Christ by name. Just want to encourage you to seek his face. And if Jesus Christ is still a story for you, today is the day to come closer to him. Don't wait anymore. And the reason why is because he's there every single day calling you by name. You may say, hey, Julio, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard like Jesus Christ speaking to me and calling me by my name. So I say, stop whatever you are doing and focus on him, and you will hear his voice. Today, the invitation is for you to find that resurrected Jesus Christ in your life. He's real, is ready to speak to you, is ready to speak to me, is ready to speak to the church. He is there. Just don't mind whatever is around you. Just fix your eyes. The resurrected Jesus Christ. So, there where you are, I invite you to close your eyes and think in the person of Jesus Christ. Think how beautiful it is when you have an encounter with Him. And if you are willing to have one today, today is the day where you can have this experience for the very first time, a second time, a third time, it doesn't matter. His mercies are new every single day, and He's always there, present. So here we are, Lord, and we thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy. And thank You, Lord, for that cross where You decided to go to take our place. Thank You, Lord, because we know, Lord, that despite all the circumstances, all the pain, all the suffering, the grief and the sin, You have not given us up with us. So here we are, Lord, and we give ourselves away to You, Lord. You deserve this, and all the glory and honor is to You, Lord. And it's Your blood that cleanses us from all sin. And You are a God of second chances. And You are a God who is calling us by name. And here we are, Lord. Whatever You want for us, we are ready. And we know that the purpose You have for our life will be fulfilled. Help us through the Holy Spirit to fix our eyes only on You and not in the circumstances. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord. We love You. And we pray in the almighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.